You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That's right. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 on this Tuesday night. What a show we have for you this evening. At 7:30, we will have Jared Dudley, the former Net, of course, of the Los Angeles Lakers and teammate of Avery Bradley. I talked to him just a few minutes ago. We will play that interview for you at 7:30, and you will hear his response to what Avery Bradley said earlier today, within the last hour or so, which is in essence that regardless of media coverage and continuing to talk, actions have to be much more important for the NBA right now, and we would like to see an NBA plan for working with black causes before we restart. 800-919-3776. We will get to your calls in just a few minutes prior to hearing from Jared Dudley. I think you're going to enjoy that interview. We'll discuss LeBron and whether or not he is being selfish to win a title. According to one Eastern Conference executive, he kind of is intimating that he is. And in baseball, is there just a leadership change that is in order, not just on one side, but both? We'll talk about all of it throughout the course of the evening. Let's go. And we start with Avery Bradley coming out this afternoon and speaking on behalf of a players' coalition in the NBPA that has spoken up, with Kyrie kind of leading the way on calls over the last week or two for players who have been either a little bit reticent to speak up because of fear of reprisal from other big players in the league, or they have concerns about coronavirus, or they have concerns about whether or not the actual action of going down to play, the way they're going to have to do it, is just simply asking too much of the players. But most importantly, having to do with the proper way to deal with social justice, everything going on in the world right now, and the biggest message that they can send. So let's just lay the groundwork here first. These are a couple of the quotes that Avery Bradley had just a little while ago. To be clear, they are describing priorities, this is from Woj, that include improved hiring practices in black front offices and head coaching candidates, making it so the league's management better reflects its composition of players, donations to organizations serving black communities, and partnerships with black-owned businesses and arena vendors. Here are the actual quotes. We don't need to say more. We need to find a way to achieve more. Protesting during an anthem, wearing T-shirts is great, but we need to see real actions being put in the works. I agree that the Orlando restart will give players checks to contribute back to them to their communities. But how much of that bubble check are players actually able to contribute? Why is all of the responsibility being put on the players to do that? The actual act of sitting out doesn't directly fight systemic racism, but it does highlight the reality that without black athletes, the NBA wouldn't be what it is today. The league has a responsibility to our communities in helping to empower us, just as we have made the NBA brand strong. Don't put all of the weight on your player to take care of the issue. If you care about us, you can't remain silent and in the background. All right. Couple of things. Number one, Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving, anybody who feels the need to come forward and speak out about this and feels that it's important enough to really consider their course of action is to be respected. And for those that are questioning Kyrie Irving's motives, I do want you to hear what Steven Jackson had to say on his podcast, All the Smoke with Matt Barnes. Now, remember, Steven Jackson's very close friend, called him a brother, was George Floyd. And he described earlier what Kyrie Irving's role has been for him personally since the tragedy. Take a listen.
With Kyrie, though, I got to speak up for him because I ain't going to lie. My first day, the first press conference I had, he didn't call me down there every day on FaceTime. Like, he's been passionate about this, and by the conversation he had, you know, I just think he understands this moment. You know what right. I'm saying? And he just like me. I don't have all the answers. You know what I'm saying? And he's speaking off heart. He's speaking off passion because I ain't said this on no interviews, bro. He didn't call me crying, bro, because he literally know that I'm putting everything on. You know what I mean? And so I kind of understand that.
So this is where he's coming from. Kyrie has been in constant touch with Steven Jackson and has been so involved in this from the beginning that I think we need to stop questioning his motives behind this. Okay? Toss that one out. Get rid of it. Get it out of the way. If he, Avery Bradley, and others are speaking up for a group that is afraid to, for fear of retribution from other players who want to play, they're right. Okay? And you see not just the words from Steven Jackson and from Kyrie Irving, but you see the words tied to preferred actions from Avery Bradley today. Now, not all of the players are on the same page about this, but think about this from Bradley's perspective, from Kyrie's perspective. They're probably saying, hold on a second here, fellas. We have all of this going on, and we have a real opportunity to affect change in a very positive way in our world and in other parts of our world that can influence on the outside. So why wouldn't we take advantage of that? Why wouldn't we hold the feet of the owners to the fire a little bit in this instance? Why not swing the hammer when we have it? Adam Silver is the most progressive commissioner there is, period. He does a great job in representing the owner's interests. He does a great job in making the players feel as if they're partners. And when you hear him speak, you honestly believe what he says about the players. Can't say that for all of our commissioners right now, especially. So when he speaks, it carries weight with the players. So for these guys, for Avery Bradley, for Kyrie Irving, for whoever else to feel this strongly about it, you have to give them credit for speaking up to use leverage when they have leverage to get something real done. Social reform is only coming in one way, and that is through massive, impactful acts that spur others to finally move forward. That's what Avery Bradley is proposing today. That's what Kyrie Irving is behind. It's not a threat. It's, you know what, before we get back there, let's not just talk about this. Let's see some plans. There's nothing wrong with that. He has some leverage. He is using it. The players are using it. And frankly, they absolutely should. How is the league going to make a difference? How are they going to get involved? What will be the investment of the league? How will it be addressed during the stretch down in Florida? We have talked about the platform that they will have to speak on down in playing the playoffs. And I still firmly believe that their best way of communicating their message or continuing to keep this message going is to play. But Avery Bradley's not wrong. How about having some actions back it up before we get going? Now, one thing we need to remember, this is not just a rogue thing. You know, Kyrie is a VP in the Players Association. Let's not forget that. So what this feels like to me is a few guys stepping up for a group in the Players Association that says, let's make sure we're doing this the right way. Let's not just throw something together. Let's talk out the issues. Let's get some plans of action together, and let's make sure we go about this the right way so that this is not a lost opportunity to get it done. I think it's an excellent point. And I think that when you hear it, you understand where they're coming from. I'm not saying they shouldn't play. I still think they should play. But this is a very real conversation and a very real move on the part of Kyrie Irving and on the part of Avery Bradley representing other players. And as Woj put it last night, you know, they are speaking for more players than maybe we thought. That's why all of a sudden it has slowed down. Adam Silver last night spoke, of course, on the SportsCenter special, The Return to Sports, with Mike Greenberg. And he was talking about all of this with his players and the return and how it all comes together. Do me a favor, take a listen to what Adam Silver had to say about his players.
To me, and when I've heard this loud and clear, the statements have been issued, foundations have been announced, contributions, but I think there's an expectation that there's more that this league can do. And I think part of it's going to require a fair amount of listening, something we've been doing already, but then engaging in very deliberate behavior together with the players in terms of, you know, how can we use sort of our larger platform in the NBA together with our players really to affect change. And so there's an appropriate role, of course, for protest. There's an appropriate role for those who choose not to engage in the game basketball down in Florida. But I think then for those who decide to come together with the league, you know, what are those things we can be doing? And just add to that, Mike, one of the things we've talked about at the league and with some players is that maybe since the players will have a lot of time down there to bring in a series of speakers, for example, that the players choose to talk about police reform, to talk about why COVID-19 has had a disparate impact on people of color, to talk about broader societal issues of employment and wealth disparity. I mean, those are all kinds of things these players together with the league can be doing around this community down in Orlando.
So not just speakers, but real engagement. That's what you heard from the commissioner. That's why they do believe in a lot of what he says, but there's nothing wrong with putting a little bit of pressure on him. And that's what Avery Bradley did today. That's what Kyrie Irving did today and the players that they represent.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
This from Stephen Bondi in the last hour. In reference to all of this with Kyrie and Avery Bradley, in a recent chat group with Nets players, Kyrie Irving lobbied for skipping the bubble, the Daily News has learned. In that chat, he also proposed the players can start their own league, according to his source. Now we're getting a little bit out there. Now, if you want to skip the bubble, if you want to not do it for the right reasons, that's fine. You don't need to spite the league for that. It's not like the NBA hasn't had their share of progressiveness. I mean, they have, let's be fair about it, okay? The NBA is a very progressive league. Adam Silver encourages his players to speak out. You know, they made mistakes with the China stuff. They made big mistakes with the China stuff. But let's also be clear that it's not like this is a league that players have no power. You know, this is not the NFL in some respects. The NBA is a players' league. It is, for the most part, run by the players. And they have tremendous respect for the players as well. You can tell that in the way they act. That, though, from Kyrie, might be a bit much. Lobbied for skipping the bubble? Okay, if you feel that strongly about it, and you feel you can do more good outside, then you're doing the right thing. Start your own league. All right, hang on. I don't think there's a need for that. 800-919-3776. It has been a long time. It's been too long. I don't know where he's been. But, you know. person. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, you know, I can only draw upon what I know from the past and history. And Ali, you got to go back to Muhammad Ali. I mean, he was imprisoned in 67. He lost 66, 67. He lost 3 years of his boxing life. But he came back. And he made a better statement coming back by performing in boxing. So I think these players just got to keep going and just keep after their message.
I think by going to jail, he made a very powerful statement, Richard.
Right, but he came back to box.
Right, yeah, absolutely, but I think the statement itself was going to jail. Going to go back and box is another thing altogether. He was able to do that.
But, Chris, that kept him going in his statement.
But it didn't make
his
statement any more profound.
Oh, he was bigger than life when he came back. Much bigger.
I understand that, Richard. I'm saying coming back to box didn't make his statement any more profound. It was already the biggest sacrifice that you can make outside of dying.
See, I think Kaepernick, by not playing a lot, was lost. People just forgot. See, when you're performing, when you're there, people know that you got the message.
But Kaepernick wasn't playing because of choice.
I understand, but that's not the point. The point is he wasn't playing, so he's not out there. He's still conspicuously quiet, you know, because he's not. So these guys got to do what they do and just stick to what their feelings and what their, you know, their issue. Just keep it out there. And that's all I would know. Jim Brown, someone like that, or maybe Bill Russell. These are the guys they got to go to
Jim Brown, though, you know, every time somebody goes to the Jim Brown, I don't want to go there. And thanks for the call, Richard, because Jim Brown has plenty of issues in his history, too. Threw a woman off a balcony. You know, that's not what I want to be talking about when it comes to looking to somebody for real change. I mean, Jim Brown has done a lot of good in that regard, but let's not forget about some of the other stuff. You want to talk about Bill Russell? Absolutely. We talk about Bill Russell. Africa's in Newark up next. Africa, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, for the last 12 years, I've been on the front lines working with kids and living in this community. But I don't hear the people that have the platform talking about what we need out here, the poor people, the people that are struggling day to day, the ones that are suffering, catching hell out here. We don't need executive getting jobs. We don't need people, a few friends, getting jobs in the NBA. That helps nobody on the streets. And it's like it's hard for me to speak to somebody like Kyrie because I don't know him. He's not here in the space that I'm in. Wherever he's at, I don't know where he's at, but he's not out here on the streets. When you're dealing with the police, you need to create a system where the incentives for them getting their money is not arrest. If they don't have to arrest you, they don't have to deal with you, they don't have to talk to you, like your relationship with them. Your contact with them will be different, but they have to arrest you. Like when they see you pulled over and you're drunk, they can't come and tell you, hey, man, just walk home. There's no incentives in them telling you to walk home. The incentive is sending you to jail where you have to pay for that night that you spend in jail. Going to court where you have to pay, getting a lawyer. And then when you have the DWI, you have to pay for that too. So it ends up being like $5,000, and that money goes to the police coffers. It goes to the state. This is why they arrest you. This is how this system continues to go on and people get oppressed, because it makes money for people. And I wish, like, the people that claim to speak for me, the one that's been arrested, been beaten by the police, has a felony, can't get a job with 3 degrees, if you want to talk for people like me, create avenues for me to be able to take care of my family. Create avenues, like put jobs in the community that are co-ops. That means the people that live in those communities own those businesses. They profit from those businesses. Not somebody like Kyrie Irving or somebody that's rich come into the community, buy up a business. They make the money, take the money to whatever community they're in, spend it over there, and we're still suffering because they don't even pay us enough to survive in whatever business they create. It has to be a whole different conversation that we're having, and they're not having that conversation. If you don't stop the interactions with the police and the citizens, you're going to continue to see them kill people because they may be afraid, whatever's in their mind, however they're feeling, I can't control that. But if they have to pat me down, check me, like harass me, I'm going to run.
There has to be a systemic change, and we understand that, Africa. Thanks for the call. I think part of it, too, though, listen, if you want to talk about Irving and Bradley doing more in their communities and not worrying as much about NBA execs in the league, well, I get that. I look at it more, though, they're talking about other things in the community as well. They're talking about African-American-owned businesses that are making deals with arenas. They're talking about giving more back in the community. What exactly are the numbers going to look like? They are talking about doing those kinds of things. And as far as the reform is concerned, obviously there has to be a ton of action in regard to that. There has to be. I just feel like it's one much larger conversation that leads to major action that has to get done in terms of that has to happen between black people and the police and the white people in between, who are the ones that really have the most power here to get this done. Listen, I have respect for police officers. I do. They have an incredibly tough job. But you can't argue with what's going on here as being a systemic problem. I don't necessarily want to get into all of that tonight, because we have talked about it ad nauseum over the last few weeks, and nothing I'm going to say is going to solve anything about it. What I would say is that when you look at what Irving and Bradley are doing, in an African-American or, frankly, a predominantly black league, they are going to make sure that they are properly represented. And I have no problem with that. And that they are properly helping black businesses in the community. And that should be done. They are talking about doing the right things, and both sides are talking about doing the right things. I don't think this causes a major rift. I have to be honest. I think more than anything, this just gets a bigger conversation happening. Now, Kyrie, now granted, it was in a group text, so it's not like he came out today and said, everybody stay home, let's go form our own league. That's not what he did. He was talking about this in a group text. And if he feels like that everybody should stay home and that the bigger statement is that, then it makes all the sense in the world. Playing for, you know, forming your own league, that doesn't make any sense here. Then you're talking about doing something that in so many ways, I actually think it's just misdirected effort. This league wants to help in any way they can. They have been as forward-thinking as anybody, as any professional league. Give them the chance to fix things and to help fix things, and they're already trying to help fix things.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Plenty on the baseball coming in a bit, including why a leadership change on both sides should really be in the offing before next year. And more on LeBron potentially being perceived as selfish to win a title, and Colin Kaepernick and whether or not he's going to be on a team this coming year. But let's get to you, Monty Woodbridge, up next, 98.7 ESPN. Monty, what do you got, kid?
Hi, Carlin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. So, I mean, my point basically for me the last thing I want, sports to me is entertainment, and I'm not really concerned about the executives, you know, even for that matter, you know, NFL coaches. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to make the product better, okay, hire people that play the game. I don't want to hear that, you know, this guy is the wide receiver's coach if you never play wide receiver. I mean, I know that's a blanket statement, But I think at the end of the day, it would improve hiring and it would improve the product on the field. My main my main concern, you know, and as far as, you know, hiring people with to have jobs and have these positions that, you know, are maybe high profile, but maybe they don't deserve it or maybe they're not ready for that. That could be, that might not necessarily be the best thing either. I think our focus, my focus is really on the youth, education, a city like New York, the richest city in the world. Okay, I pay $15, I think, to get across the bridge. You know, I stop counting. You know, I just hand a $20 bill and accept the change. I would like a lot of that to go to education. I have people that are teachers. I have family members that are teachers in New York City, and it's disheartening to hear that a first grader, they don't have books in the class until November. This is New York City. And then they want to tell me, at ninth grade, they have a fifth grade reading level. That's the way to economic independence, education. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that that's been designed. You want to talk about racism? New York City should have the best public school education available in this country because of the resources. You know, and I think they need to start funding education and allowing these kids, because that's real opportunity. So, you know, these teachers, they go there for 25 years and they skip out of there with 60% of their salary, you know, for the pension. But yet, you know, we got kids that are, you know, that they tell you that, you know, have a sixth, seventh grade reading level in high school. It's unacceptable. And I know that you can take any kid, okay, and give him opportunities. There used to be a school in Pennsylvania that used to take kindergartners and teach them four or five different languages, three or four different instruments, and their brain absorbs this stuff. By the time they were 5 or 6 years old, they knew how to speak four or five languages, play three or four instruments. They were doing algebra, you know. So it's a matter of exposure, and it's a matter of opportunity. And I would like to
lean more
on education.
True. Monty, I think all of it's true. I think education is incredibly important. But I also think that you have to be fair here and understand that there is a big part of it that's racism. And education in racism is what really has to be a factor here. Thanks for the call. When we're talking about that, what I mean is, you know, children have to learn at a young age that equality is what rules the day and has to rule the day. So I you're 100% right. Schools should be cathedrals. There's a lot of things that should be. We are not going to be able to tackle everything in every last moment overnight. Eddie in Brooklyn is next on 98.7. Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How are you?
Good. How are you, bud?
I'm all right, this evening. I'm all right. But before I get to my point, I just want to I wanted to talk, because I've been having some just conflicting things that are segue into what I wanted to say. Was like, I don't think any sports being held at this point in time, when you think about logically, can they do it? Yes, they can. But when you look at what's now happening with the NBA, and they're talking about the Disney employees are not going to be quarantined, so you're going to have a couple of moving parts there that just, with the NBA players in this bubble, you know, that's a little crazy. So now when you talk about the NFL, I just don't see how it's going to happen, because you're talking about the bus driver, his family, security, them and their families. When you go to different cities, the people with the food, security there, the bus driver, the people on the plane, it's just way too many moving parts. And I know financially it's going to speak to the fact that we need to have a season, but in reality, I just don't see how it works. Because if you're having problems in one place with the NBA, I just don't see how you have a multitude of moving parts in the NFL going from city to city, hotels. You can't quarantine every single person when you've got the Packers in Detroit, and they're going to Chicago the next week. And
no, I agree with all that, but we are a ways off from that. Can we agree on that? We are a ways off from when we get there. So I don't necessarily think you can say right now the NBA, the NFL's not going to happen. You know, the NBA, they're doing it in the best way they can to get back as soon as possible.
And now to my point on just the social justice issues and going on it and being an African-American man, I think what happens is now is the fact that when we basically see the fact that, you know, when I guess people who are not minorities, when we see the fact that that flag does not mean the same for you as it does for me. That's all we've been saying. That combined with the fact that you see what's happening when you have, you know, white Americans who have gone and killed people and mass murderers and basically they're killing people in movie theaters and stuff like that. So now what happens is we look at those two things and we say, well, you can't see the difference in justice. And when someone of an opposite, when someone of basically a white descent sees that and they can't agree with those two things, we in the African community look at you as racist. Because that's the way the injustices just don't fit. So my thing is when you said something earlier about Kyrie Irving, about wanting to basically create his own league, a part of me said, did the NBA do anything? No, but I understood where he came from or where he's coming from with that, because a lot of us in the black community say basically we need to have our own banks and have everything else. So I guess maybe in a sense, Kyrie's like, maybe without us, we create our own league. Now, I don't know if that will work or not. I don't know. But I can see where he's going with it. So that's the only thing. Do I agree with it 100%? Not necessarily, but I do see where.
Listen, if you want to not go down to Orlando and feel like the strongest way to deliver your message is to not play the rest of this year as a group, I respect that. I would also say, though, that, you know, this has not been a league that has consistently been against you. You know, they have worked with the players as much as they can, and I think that they're continuing to be better. I think you have a commissioner that genuinely cares. I think you have a lot of owners in the NBA, as opposed to, like, baseball, that genuinely care about the players. And so I think you have to recognize that they're trying to help as well.
No, I definitely do. I definitely do. And but you
that's
know,
why I think starting their own league. I mean, you know.
No, I'm not saying I think it'll work, but I'm just saying I see the seeds of where he's going with it. But the only thing is all we can do is hope that maybe everybody listens. And I'm one of these people. I judge people for their character.
Yeah.
You know, so
listen, I get it, Eddie. I appreciate the call. I think that, you know, more than anything at this point, that's all you can do. And you judge people how they interact with you unless you see things that are massive injustices. And unfortunately, that is something that we have seen an awful lot of, especially lately.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
As we know, they've been very much involved in wanting to represent many players in the league, more than were originally thought, as Woj put it last night, who were not being, they felt, represented enough in all of what's been going on. And what I mean by that is the discussions about what was going to happen in Orlando, and the discussions about how to really best capitalize on continuing to deliver the message of racial equality, of all these types of things, of lack of social justice. So here is some of what Avery Bradley told ESPN today. Regardless of how much media coverage will be received, talking and raising awareness about social injustice is not enough. Are we that self-centered to believe that no one in the world is aware of racism right now? That, as athletes, we solve the real issues by using our platforms to speak? We don't need to say more. We need to find a way to achieve more. Protesting during an anthem, wearing T-shirts is great, but we need to see real actions being put into works. I agree the Orlando restart will give the players checks to contribute back into their communities, but how much of that bubble check are players actually going to, actually able to contribute? Why is all of the responsibility being put on the players? The actual act of sitting out doesn't directly fight systemic racism, but it does highlight the reality that without black athletes, the NBA wouldn't be what it is today. The league has a responsibility to our communities to in helping to empower us, just as we have made the NBA brand strong. Don't put all of the weight on your player to take care of the issue. If you care about us, you can't remain silent in the background. Well, I think Avery Bradley is doing some good and doing some not good in some of that discussion. I think it's unfair to characterize the league as remaining silent in the background and doing nothing. I don't think that's fair. I think Adam Silver has been the most progressive of commissioners, and I think the league has been pretty outspoken in their plan to do more. However, you do have Bradley and Kyrie representing these other players that really have strong feelings about this issue. And whether or not they should be playing, feeling like maybe playing isn't necessarily the right thing right now. Here's the big problem with what they're saying. When Kyrie is saying we need to not go to Orlando, when he's saying we need to start another league, especially that, we're pushing it a bit too far. We need to start our own league. No. You have a league that is more than willing to work with you. Yes, there need to be more black owners. There's no doubt. There is no doubt. And it's one of those things where you can't just have tell owners to give up their teams, but you do have to give black ownership groups an opportunity to get in the next time franchises become open and to get into the league. But when you are saying now that we really have to start thinking about doing more and making this about actions. And what Avery Bradley is specifically talking about is the league's management being better reflective of the composition of players, making donations to organizations that serve black communities, and partnerships with black-owned businesses and arena vendors. All of that, that's good work to be done. But if you're Avery Bradley here, swinging the hammer is the right thing to do. It's not often that the players get the hammer. And in this instance, it does have to be about more than just talking. Yes, they are best served by playing and continuing to make it a much bigger conversation, but by conversation comes actions. So just remember, that is a big part of it. There is true currency in that, but the actions have to come with it. So if you're Avery Bradley, if you're Kyrie Irving right now, and you want to, I'm not going to use the word threaten, but hint at the idea that we got to see a plan in place for real change. There's nothing wrong with that at all. When you have that leverage, and we're in the situation that we're in, I'd argue it's borderline their responsibility to use that leverage. Now, this is not a situation where we're dealing with owners that don't care about their players at all. We're not dealing with, frankly, a lot of baseball owners here. I think you have a lot of NBA owners now who are very mindful of racial tensions in our country. Unfortunately, part of it came from the idiot Donald Sterling and getting him out, and you saw what the reaction was there. You could argue they should have known about it a heck of a lot sooner. Or if they did know about it and they just ignored it, that's just as bad. But I do think this is a league that tries to do right by their players, that wants them to feel like they are partners. And I fully believe that this is a league that's going to continue to try to do the right thing. That doesn't mean putting a little heat on them is the wrong thing to do. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Kyrie just loses me when he goes a little bit too far and says, maybe we should just start our own league. Logistically, that is biting off a lot more than you could chew it at a time when you don't necessarily need to do it. Yes, there needs to be more black ownership in all of sports. Those opportunities have to present themselves. But in the meantime, there need to be more black people who get opportunities in positions of power in sports until the ownership is there as well. So swing that hammer by all means. Use that leverage. You have every right to do it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We've chosen four nominees, and on Thursday, we give you the two winners. Another nominee, Andrew Sanborn, three-sport varsity athlete, Union High School, Union, New Jersey, finished his football season as a state champion, had his basketball state tournament and entire baseball season wiped out due to the pandemic. As a quarterback, he was awarded New Jersey State Offensive Player of the Year, also been ranked among the top pitchers in the state. He and his mother started a pop-up pantry, taking donations of food and groceries for local families in need during these difficult times. How about this? He's going to be attending American International College to become a special ed teacher with aspirations to coach the sports he loves and eventually become an athletic director. Congratulations to Andrew for the nomination. Thursday, we're announcing the winners right here on Carlin on 98.7 ESPN, all brought to you by the best there is. ESPN New York, and be sure to catch the 2020 ESPY Awards presented by Capital One this Sunday, June 21st. Countdown begins 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Did I really see this? Is this really happening? Ian Begley of SNY earlier was doing a mailbag. And we know that there was discussions about it last year, but it never really got somewhere. We're going to bring Melo back to the Knicks next year. Is that why? 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 I thought you wanted other players and younger players to actually get better. Okay? Melo serves a nice role out on that team in Portland. He's been an important part of their success this year. Carmelo Anthony does absolutely nothing for the New York Knicks next season. Nothing, nada, zilch, zippo. You need Kevin Knox to develop. You need R.J. Barrett to develop. You need Mitchell Robinson to develop. You need whoever your first-round pick is this year to develop. You do not need Carmelo Anthony back on the Knicks. And it's ridiculous to even suggest that it should happen this offseason. Ian said that he has heard that there is a strong chance these two sides will get back together this coming offseason. Dear God, why? Why does Carmelo Anthony have to come back and be a Knick? What sense does that make in the freaking least? None. Zero. None. No need. Are we clear? All right. This is probably going to trouble me, but here we go. Steve in Montville. Have you another poem to grace us with?
I do. Okay. We sit in our houses, speaking incessantly to our spouses. So the radio we turn on to hear Chris talk of this pro or that con. He talks about team games or why we continue to call each other bad names. So how can we say thanks without sending him money from our banks? I say we should take a pot or a pan and send a meal to our beloved fat man.
Not bad. Don't send me any food. I don't need any more food.
Yeah, I know, but I just
think that
to
poem was more than enough.
Yeah, I know, but I want people to send you stuff to make your life even more chaotic than it is now.
Problem is, they send it to me now. I'm not at the station. I'm doing this show from home, so I'm not going to get it forever.
Yeah.
So anyway. I guess I'll just have to give out my home address then. Anyway, Stevie, what's going on?
Well, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I wish Bowie Kuhn was still the commissioner.
All right, let's not get nuts.
You know, I mean, and this was a man who, before he became commissioner, used to stuff shirts for a living. And that's a 50-year-old joke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, this is just awful. It can't be any awfuler, if that's a
any
word.
Any awfuler. That's a new word.
It's just horrendous, the whole thing. Makes me
look
sick.
You know, Steve, I understand your frustration, and thank you for the poem, and thank you for the call. We all need it to come back, but do we really, after all, honestly? We all want to see it come back. We all want to be entertained. I'm so aggravated at the notion that you're going to have a World Series this year and treat it like any other World Series. That, to me, is the most ridiculous part of all of it. Think about that for a sec. You're going to come back and have a 50 or 60 game season, and you're going to have a World Series that is going to have so little meaning, yet in the history books, it will be equated to some of the all-time great teams. And that's just so wrong on so many levels. You want to put together a tournament. You want to do what the gentleman on Twitter suggested a few weeks back about the, you know, the Jackie Robinson Cup, if you played like a 47-game season in honor of him debuting in 1947 with everything going on right now. Hey, great idea. I love it. Don't hand out the World Series trophy. We already know the commissioner doesn't consider it anything more than a hunk of metal anyway.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.